Grace, mercy, and peace are all yours this night through Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. A heck of a reading, and a hell of a day, and a death for Jesus. We can ask one simple question that people were asking on that day and the days to follow and have been asking ever generation since: who is to blame? Who's to blame for this death of Jesus? We will haggle, or in the words of one movie, we will dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge, just so that it's not us. We will blame others. We will argue degrees of guilt. And I'll say something like this. I've said it before. I still find it funny. Chief of sinners though I be, at least Josh Foss there in the back row is worse than me, right? We might do something like that. Make sure you have a Josh in your life to make yourself feel better. Or we will draw arbitrary lines doing much the same thing. But truly, who is responsible here? As we read through the text, I just wrote down and I give you now a list of the characters. Is it Judas? Is it the chief priests and the Pharisees? Is it Annas? Is it Peter? Is it the disciples? Is it the chief priest? What about Pilate? Yeah, certainly Pilate. In another one of the texts, it says he even brings out a bowl of water and says, I'm going to give you what you want, but he takes the time to wash his hands there in front of everybody. Oh, that life were so simple. Oh, that guilt was so thin that just in a symbolic gesture, we could wash our hands and therefore be guiltless of all. Was it the soldiers? Was it the Jews in total as they were named in our text and have been named down through the ages? Was it Herod? What about the women? Jesus' mother is there and many other women, including many Marys. And you say, how could they be guilty? Yet I say to you, was not Mary standing there at the cross feeling what in these days has been termed mom guilt? Isn't this still her baby, though grown at 33? Would she not give all to save him, and yet she's not able? And so the guilt is hers too. Who is to blame? We will haggle, we will dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge, won't we? Just so that it's not us. Well, we can haggle over guilt for sure, but there is a question that stops every mouth. Instead of asking who is guilty and doing what we often do, just going out trying to find a patsy who's maybe a little bit more guilty than me, we can ask a more devastating question. Who there on that day, who ever since, who in this room now is innocent? None. Not a single one. No one is innocent, not even one. Or Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Having stumbled into Romans, I want to stick with it a little bit further. Romans chapter 5 gives to me, and I offer to you about five verses that I think act as a wonderful lens on this night. Romans 5, beginning at verse 6. Who is guilty? Well, we can haggle over that. Who is innocent? Not a single one. Not one of our characters tonight, or not us. And here's Paul. He sums it all off. Paul has left the narrative, and now he's speaking to us theologically about what happens on Good Friday. He says this, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows and showed his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. In five quick verses, here's what the Apostle Paul had to say about you and me. Here's the names he gave us. Are you ready? Weak people, ungodly people, sinners, and maybe the worst of all, enemies of God. Those are all the descriptors of us and all mankind in five quick verses. But for each of those, then Paul says this, in Christ, through Christ, we are, and he says each of these in this text as well, we are loved, we are died for, we are justified, we are saved, and we are reconciled. 15 years ago, Otto von Habsburg died. He was the last crown prince of the Austria-Hungarian Empire. You know, the kind of family dynasty and empire that goes back to World War I and well before it. Otto died. After his death, by imperial custom, the bearers brought his body to the door of the Capuchin monastery in Vienna. Imagine we're a monastery here. Imagine they bring a body to the door. A herald knocked on the door with a cane, and a monk inside answered, "Who wants to enter?" The herald then began a loud proclamation of imperial accolade. Here's what he said. "Son of Charles of Austria, former Crown Prince of Austria-Hungary, Grand Duke of Tuscany, Margrave of Moravia," and on and on and on. When the list of titles was exhausted, the monk inside replied, "We don't know him." And the door was not opened. The herald knocked again, and again the monk answered, "Who wants to enter?" This time the herald offered a more modest proclamation. "Dr. Charles of Habsburg, Member of Parliament, honorary doctor of many universities, member of many academies and institutes," and on and on. When the list of honors was entered, the monk again replied, "We don't know him." Finally, the herald knocked a third time, and again the monk answered, "Who wants to enter?" This time the herald replied, "Charles, a mortal, sinful man." And the doors of the monastery were opened, and the monk inside said, "Thus let him enter." O you mortal, sinful people. Yeah, that's what you are, all on your own. You really don't have anything more to bring to Christ than that. You may have accomplished many other things. You may have titles added to your name. People might be able to say flowery, beautiful things about you, but before our God, you and I are naked and dirty and dead. Or as Paul said in Romans 5, ungodly sinners, enemies of God. Yet tonight, by the blood of Jesus, the door is opened to you. Jesus bleeds and he dies on the cross for you. And you now enter into the courts of the Father. All false accolades were stripped away. All you had to offer was your sin, and Jesus took that on the cross and gave you his righteousness. You now enter forgiven, washed, clothed, free, very much alive, children of the Father. But of course, dear church, that's not the end of the story. There is the part that we can only whisper about tonight. Just you wait for Sunday. If you heard good news here, there's a lot more to come that is better by far better still. Therefore, all of God's people tonight, reconciled, cleaned up, and given entrance to the throne room of the Father through the blood of the Son, say together, Amen.